This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be reviewing the Spurs' last three games, the latest trade rumors, and some player-for-player type trades with the deadline approaching on Thursday. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. So it's been about a week since I last recorded an episode about a week ago with Colin Reed on Tuesday. So let's recap how the Spurs have done in their most recent three games. So we're going back to Wednesday, and I do want to note that I am recording this on a Tuesday evening. Back on Wednesday, the Spurs were at home hosting the Orlando Magic. The Spurs led early by 11 points in this game. The Magic came back in the second half and ended up leading by as many as 25 in the second half. San Antonio, though, did fight back. They got the game down to crunch time, but they ended up losing overall by 10 points in this game. Devin Vassell was leading scorer with 26 points for San Antonio. Victor Wembanyama ends the night with 21 points and 5 blocks and 2 steals. And then Jeremy Sohan had a great game on both scoring, both with scoring and with crashing the glass, with 18 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 blocks in that game. So the Spurs lost to Orlando. Then two nights later on Friday, the Spurs are hosting the New Orleans Pelicans in San Antonio. The Spurs led early by 12 in this game. The game went down to crunch time. It was fairly close there at the end. Zion Williamson made a quick late game layup full court. He kind of took the ball down. He makes a layup. The Spurs get the ball back with about 3 seconds left. They call timeout. They come out of the timeout with what they designed. Wemby, Vassell pick and roll. And with that play, they had two options. Either, you know, the defense goes under on that screen between Wemby and Vassell takes a three, or the defense draws more attention to Vassell up top, and then Wemby's cutting down the lane for either a layup or a dunk. Well, what ended up happening was Vassell ended up taking that three. Wemby was open, and you know, this is a very controversial play. And so obviously, you know, Vassell ends up taking the three. He doesn't get the ball to Wemby. For the view that we have, as watching the play, it definitely looks like, you know, Wemby's right there wide open with probably like 2.7 seconds left. But of course, you know, we're not in the player's frame of mind. We don't see exactly what they're seeing. Maybe Vassell saw the two defenders in front of him. He ends up taking that three, and Vassell ends up missing that shot. And of course, the Spurs lose by 1 point. After the game, Pop was asked about that play, if that was the intention. He basically said, you know, they shot that shot. He says, of course, they would have wanted a dunk, but that's not what happened. That they made their decision. And then even Vassell said something along the lines of like he was having a good night scoring the basketball, so he thought, you know, that was the shot. That shot was there for them. But of course, you know, the Spurs ended up losing that game by 1 point. Vassell ends the night with 28 points, the leading scorer on the Spurs. Wemby has 16 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists, and also 3 blocks. And then Trey Jones had 20 points in this game against the Pelicans. Then on Saturday, the Spurs are on the second night of back-to-back. They're hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a game that wasn't as close as the other two previous games when the Spurs lost. The Cavs took control in the second quarter. They led by as many as 26 points. They basically held a comfortable lead throughout. The Spurs would kind of chip at that lead, but they could never get it, quite close where, you know, Cleveland felt like they were going to lose this game at any point in the second half. So the Spurs ended up losing this game by 16 points. Devin Vassell ends up with 22 points in the night. Victor Wembanyama ends up with 19 points, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So overall, you know, Vegas said the Spurs should have gone 0-3. They were underdogs in all three games. They ended up losing all three games. Again, that Pelicans game was the one where they were right there. They really had a chance to win that game. But again, one final possession, they really struggled. And they also had some difficulty in other areas, such as turnovers and also like the free throw line, those kind of areas as well, contributed to that loss, even though it manifested itself in that final play. Now let's talk about just some notables that happened this past week. Just some notable notes. So Wemby was named the Western Conference Rookie of the Month for January. So this is not a surprise. This is something Colin and I had talked about last week where, you know, Wemby's numbers have just been off the charts in January, especially since he got moved to the five and especially also since Trey Jones became the point guard. Again, when you just compare his number and Chet's numbers, just Wemby's just, basically surpassing Chet in a lot of different areas now. And it's far, far and away now. It looks like it's Wemby's race to lose at this point. Now it looks like Wemby's number one to, win that Rookie of the Year contest. So in January, he officially won his first Rookie of the Western Conference Rookie of the Month award. Some other news, though, and this is a long shot for him. Wemby wasn't named an all-star in the Western Conference All-Stars last week. Again, Colin and I discussed this last week in detail. We kind of went through all the reserves of who is possibly going to get selected, and Wemby wasn't, you know, that high on the list in terms of the players that were going to get selected for this honor. And so, you know, possibly maybe looking at next year's sophomore season, he has a really good chance. Just the fact that he was already in this conversation to be a rookie in just year one of his professional career. Something that dropped on Tuesday afternoon by the NBA was that the Rising Stars teammates have been selected for the teams. There's going to be four teams, and Coach Pau Gasol is going to coach one of the teams that has Wemby on it. So here will be Victor's teammates in this Rising Stars game on All-Star Friday night. He's going to be he's gonna play alongside Brandon Miller of the Charlotte Hornets, Bilal Coulibaly, his former teammate in France, and also a current player for the Washington Wizards. Also Jaime Hawkins Jr., who plays for the Miami Heat, a rookie. Jabari Smith Jr. of the Rockets, and then Brandon Pajemski of the Warriors, and Cason Wallace of the Thunder. So they're gonna be going against three other different teams in this tournament style, where you got to get to a target score kind of approach. And so it'll be really exciting to see Wemby with some other different players out there, and again him getting to team up with Bilal again, and then just having Jaime Hawkins Jr. out there. That's a really good defensive group. I mean, yeah, so you got Coulibaly, you got Wemby, you got Hawkins Jr., you got Jabari Smith Jr., a lot of really good defenders out there on this team. And then, of course, you know, you got a guy like Brandon Miller who can hit the three, hit the mid-ranger. You got Wemby who can score from anywhere. And so it'll just be a really fun game to watch on that All-Star Friday night. I think I'm really looking forward to that more so than some of the other events like on the Saturday night or even on the All-Star game. And then just where are the Spurs right now, you know, where they currently stand. They finally had a few days off. They've had 3 days off in a row, and then they do resume play on Wednesday on the road in Miami. So they are currently in the midst of a four-game losing streak. Again, some of these games were almost winnable for them. But again, when you don't win those games, it ends up becoming a losing streak for this team. So they're on a four-game losing streak. They are now headed off to the Rodeo Road Trip, which begins on Wednesday in Miami. And this will take place from Wednesday, starting all the way until the end of February on February 27th. So it's a 9-game trip. The way it works is they're going to be at Miami, at Orlando, at Brooklyn, at Toronto, and at Dallas. So the majority of those teams are East Coast teams or Eastern Conference teams. And then they go to the All-Star break for about a week, for, you know, a handful of days. And then when they resume the All-Star, when they come back from the All-Star break, they're going to play more West Coast games at Sacramento, at the Lakers, at Utah, and at Minnesota. So that'll be the 9-game rodeo road trip. Again, right now, it looks pretty tough just looking at that schedule. One of the teams to watch out for is Toronto because, as we've mentioned before, in a way, you know, the Raptors almost want to lose games to keep their pick because their pick is top six protected this year. So basically, if they can finish in the lottery, you know, bottom six there or top six basically in the lottery projections, then they have a chance of keeping their pick, and that pick would not go to San Antonio this coming offseason. So again, that Toronto game will be an interesting one. It looks like a good chance for the Spurs to win if that's indeed the route that the Raptors choose to take, which is to go more so in that rebuilding type route for the remainder of the season. All right. And so, you know, regarding trade rumors, it's been kind of quiet. Again, we've had some deals in terms of just overall the league. There's just been, you know, some deals, like the most recent one was the Steven Adams deal for where he went to Houston. But again, it's been really quiet, not just with the Spurs, but also just a lot of teams. This is like the week where initially at the beginning of the week, it's very quiet on the weekend. Teams are probably looking at their boards, seeing what options they have. And of course, as Tuesday came and no deals have been announced yet that I'm recording as of 5:30 Mountain Time. So again, maybe there will be a deal Tuesday with some kind of team. But aside from that, maybe tomorrow, Wednesday, it picks up. And if not, Thursday is the deadline, 3:00 Eastern Time. So that'll definitely have to happen if there's going to be any kind of deals. But right now, it does seem a lot of quiet in a lot of the reporting. It's like a lot of the same names are kind of in the same trade rumors. There was one interesting note, though, regarding the Spurs. They were tied to one rumor, and this was for Tyus Jones, the brother of Trey Jones. He's the current point guard of the Washington Wizards. So this was reported by Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype on Monday. He reported that the Spurs, Orlando Magic, Brooklyn Nets, Lakers, and Minnesota Timberwolves all have interest in have registered interest in Tyus Jones. The Wizards, from his reporting, are not ruling out re-signing Jones this summer because he is an unrestricted free agent, but they would have his bird rights. And also, if the Wizards do move Jones, they do want a first-round pick for him if they do end up moving him. So this isn't too surprising to hear the Spurs' name in this rumor. There was a few weeks ago where Colin and I did a podcast where we were just looking at different trades for the Spurs. It was actually when the first DeJounte Murray rumor from San Antonio kind of came out. We not only looked at DeJounte, but also we had discussed Tyus Jones. So he would be a pretty good option for San Antonio. How his contract works right now is that he's earning $14 million this season. And then next summer, like I mentioned, he's going to be a unrestricted free agent. So, you know, even if you trade for him, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to re-sign him. Although that would probably be the intention, is that, you know, if you're giving up an asset to acquire him, the most likely route is that you do want to try to sign him this offseason. And why that would be interesting for the Spurs if they do want to go after Jones is because it's better to trade for him instead of just trying to go out and sign him in free agency in the summer, is that they would get his bird rights. And right now, yes, they're going to have cap space this coming summer, but right now, depending on where those picks land, they may not have as much cap space. It could be like 18, 20 million max. And then you know, they still got to worry about some of their own free agents, those kind of things. So again, it's probably a better idea to trade for Jones, rather than, trying to just wait for the offseason, seeing if they can just sign him. You know, regarding what kind of trades will work, you know, any deal with one of the expiring contracts, such as Doug McDermott, you know, Jones for Doug McDermott works, Jones for Devontae Graham works, either of those two trades works. And then when you're talking about, you know, what first round pick would the Spurs give up, of course, they have multiple first round picks going for the next few years here, San Antonio. But one pick I would be interested to see if they would be willing to move is that Charlotte pick, the one that they're probably not going to get this summer. I mean, this coming summer. Because that pick is protected 15 through 30. And of course the Hornets are a bad team. They're like, they have the fourth worst record. So they're going to end up with the lottery pick there. So that's not going to convey to San Antonio this summer. And then next season, if it doesn't convey to San Antonio, then in 2026, that Charlotte pick turns into a second round pick. So again, really, you know, we don't think that the Hornets right now being the fourth worst team in the NBA are going to make a huge jump to get out of the lottery next year to be, you know, 15 through 30. I really don't see that happening. With Charlotte. So the most likely projection for that pick is it's going to end up becoming a 2026 second round pick. So again, if the Spurs are really eager about, acquiring Tyus Jones, do they look at possibly moving that Charlotte pick to Washington for Jones for either like Doug McDermott or Devontae Graham? And also, would Charlotte even be wanting to do that kind of a deal? Because again, they kind of know as well that, hey, you know, that Charlotte pick might not even turn into a first round pick after all. At the end of the day, it's going to probably become a second round pick in 2026. So again, that's just the latest rumor on Tyus Jones. Again, the Spurs have the assets. If they want to make a deal, they can make it happen. It just depends, again, are they willing to give up a first round pick? And then of course, you know, what are the, you know, as you see here, the Wizards have a lot of interest from other teams in acquiring Tyus Jones. So, you know, the Wizards are the ones who can kind of look at their board and see what's the best option to go with them with Jones. So that was the latest trade rumor. And then, so I guess for like the last topic, because it is trade deadline week, what I try to do is over the weekend is I really just looked at all the rosters. I just tried to find player for player type deals for Doug McDermott, Devontae Graham or Jetty Osman. And so what I was looking at more so is I was mainly focusing on what percentage of the cap these players, their contracts take up. So Doug's percentage of the cap is 10% this season. Devontae Graham's is 9%. And then Jetty Osman's is 5%. I kind of ruled out deals for Devontae Graham just because he hasn't been part of the rotation. You know, he really hasn't played a lot. He's been healthy, but you know, as we know, the Spurs have tried to give more of their younger players minutes. They've given Malachi Branham run at the point guard. They've given Blake Wesley. They've tried out Jeremy Sohan early in the year. So the Spurs have intentionally not wanted to you know provide those point guard minutes to a veteran player like Devontae Graham, who they know what he can do out on the court. And so I just don't know if there's any like contenders out there right now that want to add a player like Graham this coming season. So again, there's but the possibility could happen. But again, for the fact that his contract's 9% of the cap, I don't know that teams would be super aggressive in trying to make a deal for him. Whereas Jetty Osman and Doug McDermott, they've both been in the Spurs' rotation all season long, especially Jetty, the fact that he was just in his first year. And so I feel like teams have a better idea of how those two players can immediately help a playoff contender or playoff level team right now, just because they've seen what they can do, those two players at this level right now with San Antonio. And so those are the two players I was more so focused on as I went through all the teams. And so what I did was I went through each conference, East through West, basically 1 through 10. I mean, 1 through 11, actually, because, you know, the plan, some teams are right there on the bubble. And I was just trying to find, you know, just deals that match up player for player, that 10% of the cap or that five for Doug or 5% of the cap for Osman. And there's deals out there, like teams can make the deals work. But for me, it was just more so like, I don't know where San Antonio says yes or no. And then I also don't know where that other team says yes or no. You know, how much do they want to give up of like a second round pick to acquire Doug or Jetty? Are those two players moving their level up that much more that they want to give up a future asset? So that was the questions that I was kind of couldn't really solve myself as I went through some of these deals. So there was just two that kind of struck out to me as I went through each of these conferences and the teams. The first one was one that Bobby Marks actually had mentioned in his trade deadline preview that he had up on ESPN. So his suggestion was Doug McDermott to Orlando for Gary Harris and a 2025 second round pick, the least favorable of Boston and Memphis. And so when you look at their contracts, Doug and Gary, their contracts are almost exactly the same. They're both about 10% of the cap. Harris will be, he's just like McDermott, where he'll be an unrestricted free agent this summer. He's kind of fallen in and out of the rotation with Orlando. And, you know, Orlando's definitely one of those teams that needs shooting. And so Doug would obviously provide that for a playoff type run, if that's what the Magic want to do in this coming season to be a little bit more competitive. So my question is just more so, are the Magic willing to do that? Do they feel like Doug's that much of an upgrade for them over Gary Harris that they're willing to lose a 2025 second round pick? And then for the Spurs' case, of course, you know, if they can get a second round pick for Doug, I think that they would do that just because Harris is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. You know, they could have him play some minutes if they need to towards the end of the season, but if not, they're not tied to him in long-term salary, having his books on the deal. So for me, if this deal doesn't happen, I think it's more so from Orlando's perspective, but they said no, that they didn't think it was worth it to lose a 2025 second round pick for just adding Doug for the remainder of the season. And then as I started going down, the more of the team's rosters, one team that stuck out to me was Sacramento, the Kings. I was wondering if possibly, you know, maybe they would look at a Jetty Osman for maybe like Jetty and I don't know how many more seconds, maybe one or two second round picks for Davion Mitchell. And the reason why I mentioned Mitchell is because, he's had inconsistent playing time with Sacramento this season. He's also been in trade rumors. You know, from what we've seen, what's been reported, the Kings are looking to move him possibly. And so for the Spurs, Mitchell is under contract this season for $5 million. Next season, he's under contract for $6.5 million. So you basically get him on the books for 2 years or a year and a half, basically. And then in 2026, he's a restricted free agent, if you want to try to resign him if you're San Antonio. So it gives you an option to, try to get give Mitchell a run as the backup point guard for San Antonio or just see kind of, does he fit in on your roster for about a year and a half? So the Spurs would have that option of trying to see if he fits. And then I guess my question is for this one is more so, again, do the Spurs even have interest in Mitchell? We don't know that question, the answer to that question. And then number two, do the Kings feel like it's worth giving up Mitchell, who's on a rookie scale contract, for a veteran and Jetty? Does Jetty move the needle enough for them to make that kind of a deal? And then knowing that he's also an unrestricted free agent coming into the summer, so they know that they can't, unless they plan on re-signing Jetty, then they may not hang on to him be able to hold on to him after the summer. And then, how many second round picks do they want alongside Jetty? And that's a question too, where it goes back to the Spurs. Do they say no on that kind of question? So again, that was just one that I kind of found a little interesting was kind of Mitchell there, just seeing if maybe San Antonio could put a deal for him. And I think that's some of the deals that I found for the Jetty type moves is you're looking at more so some of those players who are on their rookie deals, but are about to become free agents like in a year or two that just haven't worked out with their current teams. Another guy I kind of just looked at was like Malachi Flynn. I know he didn't really find a role for himself with Toronto. Then he got moved to New York and he's playing some spot minutes for the Knicks, but not enough. And so again, I think that's, if the Spurs want to do it, there's that option for the Spurs out there. Like possibly they want to do that. Like a player who hasn't really found his way in the NBA on their current team or they've been moved around before on different teams, but they're still on the rookie scale contract. I think that those have players maybe you can get for Jetty salary just because it's at 5% of the cap, which is a little bit more movable than Doug's at 10% of the cap. So again, I don't know what the Spurs are going to do this coming Thursday. We'll kind of see, wait and see. Again, it's been pretty quiet on the trade deadline front. I know, weeks ago they were leaked to DeJounte Murray, as were a lot of different teams. And so from the noise we've been hearing in different reports and rumors is that, the Hawks have not ruled out just keeping DeJounte. You know, he's starting to get, he's playing a lot better. The team's doing a little bit better. And so, there's no reason for them to move him this coming trade deadline by Thursday when they have him on the books for like 3 or 4 years going forward. So again, we'll kind of see what happens with the trade deadline. If the Spurs don't make a move with any of these veteran players, Doug, Devontae or Jetty, I do wonder too, would they be looking at the buyout route? Because again, consider, especially with Doug and Jetty, they're actually part of the rotation for this team. Like they play, you know, some heavy minutes with the team at times. And so they really rely on them. So, you know, would they just want those two players to continue to work with this young group, even though they're not going to be a play-in team or a playoff level team this season, just kind of finish out the season, then let those players go into unrestricted free agency? Or do they want to give these veteran players their chance to possibly, you know, get a contract bout and then go join a contender and see if they can go try to win a ring before hitting free agency again? And then regarding Devontae, I don't know if a buyout's the easiest option just because he also has a partially guaranteed contract, part of his contract for next offseason also. So again, the Spurs might want to hold on to him if they can't trade him, just to try to see if maybe they can possibly try to make have him get moved over the summer before they have to fully waive him before his full guarantee deadline comes out in the following season. All right, so thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.